Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. It's a Reaction Monday. Appreciate you rocking with us. 713-572-4610 is the number to text. Also, there's the live streams brought to you by Mokam Injury Lawyers, both on the YouTube page and on the Twitch. And, of course, there's so many ways to get at us and get listen to us, right? Obviously, the Odyssey app. There's the, you know, there's AM, obviously, 610. There's the HD station, 100.3 HD2.
Yep.
That's right. I was saying, my brain feels like this is wrong, but I know it's right. But yeah, 103.
If you got HD2. Audio, you got us. If you got audio on in the palm
YouTube,
of your hands.
Yep. iHeart. Yep. I'm missing some. Twitch, all those.
If you listen, you got us.
And we appreciate you tapping in. Whatever way works best for you. Thank you.
It's funny. I was talking to somebody. He was like, hey, is the Odyssey app working for y'all? And I'm like, if it's not working, go to the iHeart app.
Yeah.
And he's like, dang, I didn't even know y'all was
everywhere.
On there.
We're everywhere.
Yeah.
We're worldwide.
We are. Yeah. I was listening to fellas when I was in Nashville.
There you go.
Couldn't listen to them up there. I'm just playing. We love those guys up there, including Ron Slay, who joined us.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's do a little bit of a self-scout here, because that's what you do when you're in a bye situation. Let's look at our Texans and how are we looking at them coming out of the bye week? What are the how will you assess the Texans' hopes is the way that we'll put this here, John Lopez.
Yeah. Obviously, there's going to be some positives and some negatives.
What?
Yeah.
You have negatives?
Sorry. Breaking news. But especially after the weekend, see what some of these teams are doing. We talked a little bit about the Colts, et cetera.
The Colts.
Yeah, well, you know, others as well. But after watching that and watching where the Texans have been these last, five quarters to be exact, and then having the off week to sort of get themselves together even more, so to speak, you know, where are you with the Texans? And I'll start because I've got some positives and some negatives for sure. I've been saying since the preseason, this isn't to pat myself on the back. I think it's just natural. A lot of people would believe this. It'll take 5 or 6 weeks before we really know what this team is, especially offensively. Well, we're in week 6, and I think the answer is we kind of know where they are. I think the offense is much improved. I think Nick Caley has got a better grasp of what he's doing, and that's not a shot because I think he even would tell you it was going to be a big learning curve, you know, when he's on the hot seat calling the plays. But I also think, and this is maybe some of the negatives, they're still – the off week didn't make you deeper in the offensive line. It didn't add a running back. You know, it didn't add a tight end. So there are still those micro margins, you know, that are there that this team has to be just completely healthy the rest of the way, you know, in order to keep this thing going.
Yeah, but I feel like that's the nature of the car crash sport to some degree. Right now, at least the offense, you're getting the five fingers in the glove on the offensive line. It's not perfect by any means. But I don't think anybody was clamoring for perfect with this offensive line. I think the question is not functionality now with this offense. I think that's the thing that we've gotten. I was hoping to have that answer earlier on in the season.
Yeah.
But likewise with you, I thought that this first 5-game run would give us an idea of what this thing is and give us an opportunity and a platform to begin kind of judging it. It functions. It works. And that's not nothing because there was a point in time where we weren't sure if it functions.
If whatever.
How high does it function? Yeah. In what circumstances does it function, right? Like, you might get some doohickey and you go, all right, it turns on. Does it work in the rain? Does it work under extreme temperatures? That's the portions that I still want to see. And how efficiently and effectively does it work? Because unfortunately, we don't have enough data there. But the thing that makes me the most encouraged is the most important player when it comes to that entire offense, which is C.J. Stroud. Mm-hmm. It feels like C.J. Stroud has gotten his arms around this offense.
Yes, yes.
There's probably still some give and take to be done. And I honestly think that there was a lot of give and take that got them to this point. But it feels like he's at a place where it's workable, right? Mm-hmm. It's like when you pick up a video game for the first time and you're trying to figure out the buttons. It's like, all right, I know enough of the buttons. I might still learn some more combinations to be even better, right? I still need to figure out what the combination is to throw the lob in this game. But I can put up the shot. I can pass, right? If obviously I'm talking about 2K. But like I can do those things, and that's what it feels like is here.
Yeah.
So I do feel good about that portion of it. And I guess when you're talking about positives on self-scouting, and it's funny that we started the segment this way because I told you that this was a thought that I was having and I did not anticipate using it here. Is the defense just set in stone now?
No.
Like, we're just done having any level of concerns, and I feel like me personally has brought up the word concern too much with this defense, but, you know, it's all relative. Are we just done having any level of look? Just don't look over there. Yeah. It's fine.
I think this defense is elite and is going to stay elite. So I'm with you 100% on that. That much, the self-scouting is, this is going to be the case. People are going to have a hard time with this defense the rest of the way, whether it's, you know, an explosive offense or a bad offense or somewhere in between. This defense is elite. The thing you mentioned about C.J. Stroud to me is probably the best, most promising thing about having the bye week now is I think C.J. Stroud is going to be even more comfortable running the show because he clearly, and you also mentioned this, that maybe he had a say in kind of changing things.
They said it.
In changing things along the way. I think they're listening to him even more because they've had success. I think he's, you know, this off week, this bye week, as much as they take time off, it's always kind of been something I'm sure that he's looked at and sort of contemplated on what's been working, what's not been working, et cetera. And I think we got the evidence of that with the plays that he's been changing at the line of scrimmage more fluidly, you know?
With the self-scout, I think sometimes it's like you can look at a good thing and then ask, how sustainable is this really? Because we don't have to do the thing where it's good and so we don't have to look at it, which, again, I think the defense has probably earned that kind of status. The running game is the portion that I would like to ask you about because you mentioned depth and running back. We're not too far from the trade deadline, and we'll obviously we'll stop down and think about this in a more in-depth way. Does this feel like a running game where you're like, you're content with what you have here, or would you be possibly looking outside? There's a name that keeps coming up, especially as we've become the Houston Cyclones here, particularly on offense. Does a Breece Hall or something like that interest you where you're like, I might be able to be talked into a running back in addition to what's happening?
No, I could easily be talked into a running back, but your first question is about, am I satisfied? Yes, I'm satisfied with this 1-2 punch, especially with Woody Marks getting more carries and more touches, et cetera. But the health of a running back is always, you know, is always going to be fragile.
Fair.
So I would easily be talked into adding another one.
Because, all right, let's do the hypothetical as you basically made this point. What happens if you end up with some level of bump or bruise? I'm not going to say specifically because I'll feel really bad if it then happens. With, let's say, Woody Marks.
Mm-hmm.
What is the game plan at that point? What does it look like, at least in your imagination?
I think you're terrified.
Well, obviously you're terrified in any situation, but like actually, what does it look like? It's just Nick Chubb and then Dare.
I think it'd be
those
Dare.
Reps,
or
is it
Dare?
Is it more DP? Is it more Damian Pierce?
I think Dare gives you more because he can also, you know, obviously block, but not that Damian's awful at it, but he can block, he can receive, and he has run the ball some. And Damian Pierce, In the little time that he's been able to get on the field, has still not been real productive on that. No, that's why
he's been not productive.
Not productive. I think that's why they're micro margins. I mean, they're just micro margins right now on the offensive line and running back and tight end. So that's why you got to be healthy. I would easily be talked into additions.
Interesting
there.
That you bring up tight end because it feels like Harrison Bryant, fine. And of course I feel bad because he hasn't been on the team for very long. However, the third tight end that this Texans team brought in,
Brendan Bates.
There we go.
Yeah.
Brendan Bates.
Yeah.
I was mixing up his name into all sorts of things that were not Brendan Bates. They have looked fine for what the purpose is that you need them to do. Mm-hmm. However, in a self-scout type of way, what has been your read on the tight end position as a whole and maybe outside of Dalton Schultz, who admittedly seems like he's finding a role that fits him in this offense?
No, Dalton Schultz is not an issue by any stretch. But let's, again, not to be specific, a bumper bruise to Dalton Schultz. You're bleeped.
That's a good point.
You are bleeped if anything happens to Dalton Schultz.
Actually, I think that Harrison Bryant can operate.
Yeah, but fine. In the, you know, yeah. Okay. You know, he's not gonna stretch the middle of the field, you know, make those, have the confidence per se to make those third down catches, which Dalton Schultz has been having a pretty good year. You are really messed up if that's the case. So those are the yeah buts. I do want to say this, though. I think we need to give D'Amico Ryans probably more credit than we've been giving him, because they were 0-3, man. They were 0-3.
I recall.
And you know, his positivity, the way he handles the, you know, as a player's coach, the locker room and all that, just to be able to respond, I get it, the competition hasn't been great, but to be able to respond and have this momentum and have this level of confidence going into the bye week, and now you're going to Seattle for Monday night, and we all know it's going to be a tough task, but I don't think anybody is, you know, quivering in their boots here, you know, and I think, I'm talking about them, you know, and fans might be, but I'm talking about them. I think you got to give D'Amico Ryans a lot of credit for kind of staying the course there.
In the spirit of self-scout, mm-hmm. How would you evaluate D'Amico Ryans' ability as a team, getting his guys prepared and ready for these first five games, game plan-wise?
Mm-hmm. I think he's been really good defensively. We know that. That's his specialty, and that's where the most talent is. I think it's been a little bit, as much as we just gave him credit, I think it's been a little overstated, his hand in the offense. I don't think he has a...
You think it's been overstated?
Yeah, I don't think he has a hand in the offense. I think just being around and being able to see the discussions and how they're working game plans and sort of being a sounding board and all that, is more, he's not running anything on offense.
But I don't think you have to, right? Yeah. Like, just like in a business, the boss is not going to come in and do your spreadsheets for you.
Yeah.
But like the whatever the managerial tactics that are necessary to help get you to the right place, it does feel like, and I'm somebody that does believe, that him being able to step into more of a CEO type role, quote-unquote, has allowed them to usher themselves into a place that is more streamlined. And maybe it was the necessity because of the how dire the situation was at 0-3. But it feels like that the quickness with which they got to that place where they, hey, this needs to shift, and the ability to kind of turn that
around.
That's
the leadership I'm complimenting him
right.
for.
Right. I do think that, yeah, I'm with you there. Yeah. I think that we do need to give him some credit there. And that's something that I do hope to see continue to grow. Because, again, he's done that for 2 weeks. What happens as you get more comfortable with the ability to do that and bounce around and know how to hit those buttons even more precisely.
Yeah, no, I hope. You're right. Now, let me ask you about the million-dollar question here.
Oh, it's $1 million on
this
the table?
This is the million-dollar question. When you're self-scouting this team, do they still have a reasonable path to get there? Because this bye week, some crazy things happened. What is it? 7 teams make the postseason in each conference?
That is the last time I checked. I believe that is what it is.
There are 8 teams right now that have at least 4 wins, I believe, in the AFC, or at least have a chance to do that.
All right. So teams that have at least 4 wins in the AFC. Number one team is the Indianapolis Colts at 5-1. Second is the Pittsburgh Steelers at 4-1, alongside the Buffalo Bills at 4-1. Steelers, by the way, have the tiebreaker as of right now with conference record, but that'll change at a later date. Chargers 4-2, Jacksonville Jaguars also 4-2, Denver Broncos 4-2, and the New England Patriots 4-2.
So 7 teams make the postseason. 8 teams right now have at least 4 wins.
The Chiefs have 3-3,
and then that's not counting the Chiefs. So you have 7 teams with 4 wins, and the Chiefs at 3-3. What's the path? You know, now that you're sort of, you know, self scouting and reevaluating where you are, you know, can they still get there?
Yes, they can.
Yeah.
In part because, and I like the way that I've actually looked at this. I'll help answer the question by asking another question, which I'm sure is a thing that everybody loves. I'm going to name teams that are below the Texans right now, and you tell me if you have any real concern of them getting back into the race and the hunt for what we're talking about here in the playoffs.
Okay.
The Cincinnati Bengals.
No.
You just flat out no?
They're not going to get back in the race.
Okay. Interesting.
Joe Flacco.
Enough.
Davis Mills was mentioned.
Was a name that was brought up. That was interesting as well. All right. You say flat out no. Figgy, you agree?
Yes.
Okay, very good. The Las Vegas Raiders.
No.
Yeah, they As much as I was anticipating them being better, mm-hmm. I feel like the Geno Smith thing,
same old Raiders,
is done. And I was like, man, I thought that he had turned a corner.
No,
you know what I realized? Geno Smith is 35 years old. Like, Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady got us messed up thinking that everybody's supposed to be able to do this to 40. He might have just hit the cliff. Anyways, that's neither here nor there. The Baltimore Ravens.
No.
You're just flat out no?
I don't think so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a lot going on with that defense. I don't think whatever they do, Lamar can't fit but so much.
Yeah, he comes back and just gets into the Dak Prescott space where he's like, can you score 45?
Yeah.
All right. Miami Dolphins.
No.
Big old no. The Cleveland Browns.
Absolutely not.
The Tennessee Titans.
Nope.
The New York Jets.
The New York who?
Jets.
I forgot about that game on Sunday morning.
They ain't got no Jets over there, man.
Shout out to the Jets.
At least Aaron Glenn will always have Earth, Wind, and Fire.
That was their win of the season right there.
That was the best thing I've seen on the internet this year. It's so good. If you haven't seen it, dude, search Aaron Glenn, Earth, Wind, and Fire.
So anyways, my larger point in doing that exercise where I got distracted, none of those teams, or at least maybe I'll put up one or two possibles, have an opportunity to kind of jump you. Now, you're already ninth, and you play the Jaguars one more time. Mm-hmm. You play the Colts twice, although that one's a little bit rough. You play the Broncos. You have a little bit of, you know, control, not entirely control your destiny, but an opportunity to get into those spaces. Now, you're talking about the lower rungs of it, wild card, before we even start talking about AFC South. But no, I still think that there's definitely a path, especially as the thing that we acknowledged coming into, what was it, coming into week five. Yeah. The recipe is there.
The recipe is there. I'm actually with you. I think the path is still there. I go back to just, doing the math and counting games. Because you're right, you are playing the Jaguars another time. You do have the Broncos here, I believe.
Yes, that is the middle of your the third of your three-game set.
Yeah, so you do have have some of these teams that you're going to face and potentially beat and get back. But they're playing other games too. So when you do the math, when you do the math, you're 2-3. They still have four wins. That's two wins in the win, two games in the win column that you have to catch up and. Right. I still think, in a weird way, this is a huge game against the Seahawks Monday night.
Oh, absolutely.
If you drop to 2-4 and the math, you know, you're running out of games, you know, little by little, you're running out of games and the math is there. And let's say I think the Colts are bye this week, if I remember correctly. But either way, some of these teams ahead of you start winning these peripheral games and just kind of stay in front of you.
Colts are still playing. They have the Chargers.
Okay, that's right. They have the Chargers. Mm-hmm. But all these games.
Thanks for listening during around the AFC. Yeah,
I know. I don't remember now. But in 1 year. Anyway, but the math can get hard once these games start, you know, adding up.
Yeah, and I feel like the Texans kind of got a tough little stretch too, man. Mm-hmm. I know San Francisco, they struggling with the injuries and all that stuff, but then you got the Denver Broncos, who, by the way, had 9 sacks.
Yeah. That might be the best. That might be one of the best defenses along with your Texans team. And, yeah, you mentioned 9 sacks. I was going to save this for winners and losers the weekend. I could say it twice. Mm. 9 sacks on Justin Fields. The same number as the completions that he had in that football game. Why do we keep exporting this slop out there? Why do those English folks in the rest of Europe keep showing up to our games?
When was it? When did we have a good game overseas at some point?
I know that it's happened at least once, but the fact that I can remember one in particular.
Yeah, I can't think of one good game. Like, man, that game was so good.
Yeah,
we just be sending them anything. Like, you take it, deal with it. There you go. A little bit of a kind of self-scout in what this team is looking at. I still, it feels like there's some hopefulness, but you're right. Like, it's getting late early for this Texans team because of the way that it started.
And like Figgy said, you got the Broncos and Seahawks defense you got to contend
with. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only thing about it is the Broncos offense looks a little bit shakier, and Bo Nixon as well looks a little shakier.
And then I don't want to overlook San Francisco, man.
No.
Just for some reason, I just can't. Maybe if Matt Jones playing, then that's a good thing, but I don't want to overlook them either.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, I don't think you can overlook anyone. And to be fair, I don't think this team is in the business of overlooking anybody. So that is a good thing. They start Monday night versus the Seattle Seahawks. Of course, we'll take you up to that here on the home of the Texans, Sports Radio 610. But coming up next, let's do our lunchtime confessions. We'll get that next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's talk about America's educational system.
Boo.
Nobody wants
hey,
to hear that.
I'm skipping class.
I am here to talk about America's educational system, ladies and gentlemen. Don't change your dial. I'm only going to talk about this. So you know, well, I told you guys I went down to Jamaica Beach with some buddies this weekend.
Yeah.
It was packed. It was crowded. People everywhere. And I'm thinking,
everybody enjoying the bye week, huh?
And I'm, well, I thought maybe for a second that, and then I realized something. A lot of kids are on fall break.
That's right.
What is going on in America?
Yeah,
right
I was
now?
Wondering.
What is going on? Fall break?
Because both myself and my mom had flights this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And we were like, man, it's a whole bunch of kids on this flight.
Yeah.
And I try not to complain about kids. It's just like, it was kids and
was
parents
obvious.
That
yeah.
were talking a lot.
Yeah.
And it don't matter. I just had in my book or whatever. I was just like, huh, that's interesting. That well, makes sense. They're on vacation.
They're not even 6 weeks into the school year.
So?
Or barely.
You sound like a hater right now.
I am.
Okay.
I am a hater right now. You know why I sound like one? Because I am. Now, keep in mind, 17-year-old me is very jealous. You know?
that is the genesis of all of
this. Yeah, that's me.
17-year-old me is very jealous. But you're taking a break in October in school across 713-572-4610. And I think just about every district in Houston area has a break this week or next.
Yeah.
Why did this happen? What did they accomplish?
I wish they had that 10 years ago when I was working at a high school.
Yes.
October was one of the longest months of the school year
exactly.
because it was no breaks at all. It was just week after week after week, all the way to Thanksgiving.
What do you need a break from? You're just barely getting to know your classmates.
From the A through 2 educator here, fall break is, all caps, needed.
Oh, get out of here. Respect.
Nah, you can't do that.
Respect.
No. No.
My wife.
You're
going to say respect and then get disrespectful.
No. My wife is a school director. She's got the week off, and I'm jealous of that. But
she's not in the trenches, though.
Yes, she is. Trust me on that. Why? I don't understand a week.
I just wish they had it back when I was in school.
Yes, we all do.
Yeah, because I just remember teachers, we used to all kind of talk. And I remember somebody saying, yeah, we had the long stretch now, man. Because
yes.
October, no, it's the long, first of all, it's 31 days in October.
Look at that education system.
No freaking days off in October.
You take a week in October.
Correct.
Well, at least 2 days for Thanksgiving in a month.
Well, usually three at least.
Yeah, two or three. And then a week for Christmas. Hey, man, when are you going to school?
Well, they have a shorter summer break now, and you just sound like a hater.
I am a hater.
Let them take these days.
Sometimes
bro.
You're a hater because it's justified.
Hey, you just got to spread it out, man. Have some days here and there, brother.
Take a week?
Yeah.
Just give them a Friday off.
I don't even understand why you, because you're not worried about their education right now. That's clear. You're just like, stop letting these kids be out amongst the adults when we're doing adult things.
No,
that's what I'm hearing right now.
No.
And of course, I think joining the old person group, I think B. Scott has sounded very much like he's excited to become an old person.
Yes.
He said, kids don't go to school no more and it don't make no goddamn sense.
Thank you, B. Scott. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, fair enough. All right.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned this real quick, but I did not delve into it. The Houston Rockets made an announcement of sorts this weekend saying that the Dunkstronaut, the big logo of the astronaut dunking a basketball, is back, in addition to those city jerseys, mm-hmm. the ones with the H-Town script on a nice plain white, you know, with red and blue.
Yeah.
My confession is, I quite like the jerseys.
Which ones?
Those ones, the H-Town script ones.
No, I love those. Yeah.
I hate the Dunkstronaut.
I'm with you.
I don't think, like, and I say this as somebody who very much loves the Rockets. I love their identity. I think they've done some good stuff in rebranding and such. I just think the Dunkstronaut isn't all that good. Like, I just, it looks like
too much astronaut type feel to it. Like, what's the issue with it?
It looks like a logo from NBA Street. Like, you know what I mean? It looks like a video game to create a team logo. It does not feel like, I'd much rather, and I know you can't do the same thing over and over all the damn time. I much prefer the ketchup mustard. I even, and I know this is going to be the real disagreed upon statement that I make here, I'd much rather the logo from back with the pinstripes. That joint, the basketball
I
world.
With,
I know. I know. Yeah. I prefer that one. I just, the Dunkstronaut feels, it feels real gimmicky.
It looks
feels
like, a 7 and under league jersey. Like little kids would wear it to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just it does not feel befitting and becoming of a National Basketball Association team. And this is why I don't make the decisions, because there's a lot of people that like it. I'm just not one of them.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I got to confess, man, I got a lot of random arguments that I refuse to jump in just moving forward because I feel like these arguments get nowhere and it's pointless and people dug in. I'm kind of with that with In-N-Out versus Whataburger, man.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah, I'm kind of done with
your name, Bullock.
No. So he speaking of him, he did, I guess he posted on his Instagram story. A picture of In-N-Out Burger. I guess he was in L.A. or Cali or something. He posted a picture of In-N-Out and said, way better than that one place in Texas.
That
with
was
the
shady.
100 emoji.
That was shady. Yeah. You ain't had to do that like that.
And so shout out to Gary from Houston Stressins. He tweeted that picture. And Kaylin actually responded to the tweet saying, I like Whataburger, just not more than In-N-Out. But my confession is, I'm not arguing with anybody from the state of Texas or from the state of California when it comes to In-N-Out Burger because y'all dug in. Y'all ain't going to switch sides. Y'all ain't going to try to have a regular conversation or a regular debate. Y'all just dug into it, man. And I ain't got time for these type of arguments no more, man. Y'all dug in. People are dug into this.
That's a great point. I think I'll give people... You got to have a reason why, though. Like, you got to have a reason why on your point here.
It never been a reason why.
It's always
if you're
like,
from
this,
Cali,
is, this is just ours.
If you're from Texas or Cali, you never had, like, a reason why. Hey, this is why I feel like this is better. It's just like, oh, it's trash.
Yeah.
Like, either side just be like, oh, it's trash. I'm like, all right, man. I had that conversation with somebody who don't have a dog in the fight.
Yeah.
And just like, hey, yeah, you know, I'm not from Cali or Texas, but I tried both of them, and I think Whataburger is better because of this. Or it's never that conversation, man. It's just straight up, oh, that's nasty or that's trash.
Yes, you're 100% right.
I'm so done with that conversation,
man.
They're
just dug in on from where they are or whatever.
Y'all just repping y'all hood at this point, man.
Which is fine, you know, respectfully.
It's cool.
On that as well.
I'm just not having that conversation. I'm not going back and forth with people on this.
And this is a fair thing. I think that this is the knock that you give In-N-Out. I think that their quality of products is really, really good. I think that they make sure they use fresh stuff. That really suffers when you get to their fries. The fries suffer in that way.
Totally
also,
agree.
I have a hard time personally, and maybe this is just being a Texan, saying that the best burger is a place where I can't get bacon on it. You know what I mean? Like, that one hurts me. That one hurts my spirit.
Yes.
Yeah. My only issue, because I tried In-N-Out before I moved here, before I even knew what Whataburger was. I tried it in L.A., and it was really good. It was real good. And then when I got down here, I tried Whataburger, really good too.
Yeah.
But it wasn't until In-N-Out moved to Texas,
mm-hmm.
and I tried it. I was just like, man, this don't hit the same. I wasn't sure if it was, if they changed the ingredients or what, but it didn't hit the same like it did in L.A.
Yeah, I think also because they use fresh ingredients, it's a lot of the In-N-Out quality control is based on where you are, because yes. where your fresh mm-hmm. ingredients come from matters. Yeah. Honestly, we don't need to litigate this, as you said. The thing I would like to litigate, hey, Kalen, you didn't need to put that way in there. That was the disrespectful part. Like, you can have your opinion. Don't get disrespectful.
Way better.
How can you go back and say, I like Whataburger, just not as
after
not
you
more.
You said way better.
Yeah. And then you ain't even acknowledge Whataburger. Mm-hmm. You just said that one place in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Like, come on, man. I know them Whataburger sponsors.
Yeah, it was shady.
That's the game. Thing,
right? I'm glad you brought that up. It wasn't just that you were like, this is better than that. You got shady with it. You knew what you were doing.
Yeah.
You knew what you were doing, big fella.
Hey, the next person at the next home game, if y'all doing that Whataburger race or whatever that is, you got to put that big old bun on and run and make the sandwich and all that stuff. Just run over to Kalen Bullock. just try to tackle him during
Brother,
the timeout,
that is a great
man.
Way to get thrown in jail. they will throw your ass under the jail. What you mean? You're running at the athletes?
Just get off a track and just run over to him, try to tackle him with
gosh.
The Whataburger costume on.
You are trying to get tackled by security. That's what you're trying
to do. Hey, go do it. Don't tell them I told you.
No, that's the first thing they're going to say.
Well, Figgy, let me talk to you.
16. Yeah. 16 said.
It is.
There you go, a little lunchtime confessions with very much heavy on the lunch today here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate y'all rocking with us and appreciate y'all weighing in. And I'm going to be honest, I love you guys getting involved. I usually will try and read it. I'm not reading none of this In-N-Out versus Whataburger stuff. I'm just going to be honest. It's not going to happen here. But appreciate you rocking with us. Coming up next, let's get to our winners and losers of the weekend. And you get involved. 713-572-4610. Who do you believe had a good and a bad weekend in sports and otherwise? We'll talk about it next. Always appreciate the interaction here in the loop. Horace on the YouTube said, don't hate Lopez. I'm on fall break in Cabo right now. Appreciate.
Oh, no, good for you. I don't blame the kids. I blame the schools. All that stuff. 17-year-old me is very jealous.
You're just a hater. It is fair. Someone did mention they also educated. They were like, burnout is a huge thing. And especially October, you see a lot of that. So it might be more for the teachers making sure that they all
that
good
October
here.
Month is rough,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, you was talking about it.
Again, you know, I know this from firsthand experience. You know, my wife is a school director for 25
and yet you still hating. That's crazy.
And I am. And here's why.
He said yes.
Yes, I am.
Correct.
Again, I can't even imagine. I couldn't do that job. I don't want to do that job. There's stress. There's pressure. There's responsibility. But I will just say this. If you add it up, and we're all, and you couldn't call our job necessarily stressful. It has its moments. But like we all, a lot of people have very stressful jobs.
We ain't digging ditches. I say that
That's
all
exactly
the time.
Right. If you add it up, all, including holidays, all the off days you get in a calendar year, that would probably add up to like 25 days, somewhere in that.
You're going to be standing on your, you standing by yourself in this. Yeah. All the teachers and educators, that is John P. Lopez.
Yeah, we can put him under the losers of the weekend.
Yes, yes, 100%.
I will wear it because my opinion is not changing.
What's incredible
it's
is
my opinion.
He had no reason to be on this list, but now Lopez, number one on the losers of the weekend.
I will wear it. I will wear it proudly because here's the thing. I understand, again, the stress, all that stuff. I get it, and I couldn't do it myself. We get, 25, maybe 30 days a year off. Teachers get between 75 and 80 a year. So you can't make it between 70 and 75. You need this fall break. I'm not saying they don't need the off days because they do because of the stress. But the fall break?
Speaking from experience, man, that October month is rough, man.
Get out of
because
here.
Usually throughout the whole, all the other months, you might have like a professional day or something like that where there's no kids and little stuff like that, little – random Monday off and all this other stuff. But that October,
they deserve their 70 to 75 days off. Absolutely. They don't need that extra 5. They don't need that extra 5.
You gonna pay them better? Anyways, let's get to some winners.
I would
and
say give them at least 3 days, a good 2 or 3 days.
We out here collective bargaining for teachers in a
right.
way And they're not even involved.
They need to pay them a little more too.
Yes, that's
a whole nother.
Yes, that's right.
Pay the teachers, save the whales, support the troops, so on and so forth. Yeah. All right, winners and losers of the weekend here. Let's talk about it.
Apparently, me
from the big loser of the weekend, John Lopez.
Apparently, me
from the 281 Texas Longhorns winners, Oklahoma Sooners losers. Technically correct, as Futurama has told me, that is the best kind of correct. I started here. This is the first one that I noted. This is the first one that came to mind for me. Because it was early on the weekend. I believe it was Friday night. Extra innings was a winner, 100%. Ooh, ALDS Game 5 was a banger. All-timer saw it described as instant classic between the Tigers and the Mariners. Seattle finally got another hit with runners in scoring position in the bottom of the 15th. And then got the, you know, it was bases loaded, walked it off. And it was the longest tenured Mariner who scored it as well. They go to the ALCS for the first time in 24 years.
Just baseball in general has been really, really good, man. Yeah, but that one in particular, that was the highlight.
I think it was a good call for the MLB to not have that ghost running on second and all that stuff,
100%.
Too.
100%. Yes.
Because, the game would have been over. Probably would have been over after the 10th inning. Yeah.
Which is funny because they got runners on second a good amount. It was a whole bunch of getting
out
of...
It's a lot of defense.
Yeah, a whole bunch of getting out of jams in extra innings in that game. Roy Wood Jr., comedian and huge baseball lover, tweeted something that I found interesting. I want to bring it up with you fellas. Quote, "This is the type of exciting baseball game that diehards love and casual fans used to justify not watching baseball. Such a gift and a curse."
I saw that
Is he
tweet.
Right in
Did
that?
You retweet that?
I don't know. I might have.
Yeah, but...
Is he right?
I think he is, and I think he's actually sort of proving that these types of games can be riveting. You know, absolutely riveting for any fan. I mean, it was the highest level of play on both sides. Yeah,
I felt like postseason baseball is usually pretty accessible for fans, especially like, and maybe this is my bias of being deeply online. I guess I can't call myself like a casual baseball fan necessarily, in the way that we're talking about here. But I've always been the type of person where people are tweeting about a particular game. It's like, oh, man, into the 12th. And you're like, oh, I want to see what's happening there. And that draws you in. And I thought that was an appeal, but maybe not. Maybe the casual fan is like, all right, let's go. I'm done with this. It's defense. I thought it was really good. Can I? How about this for a loser on the weekend? Deshaun Foster. I know, again, we'll do college football on a Tuesday tomorrow. However, James Franklin got fired, and I'll get to him in a second. But Deshaun Foster was previously the coach at UCLA. He was the guy who took over the job when Chip Kelly left UCLA to go become Ohio State's offensive coordinator. And he played for the team, and they were just bad. And it made sense. You know, it's like UCLA, they don't have that much investment, you know, not great geography necessarily when you consider this. There's some mitigating factors. As soon as he got fired this year, they have won both of those games.
Yes, they have.
They have scored big points. Those guys seem to be excited to play for the interim and for the offensive coordinator. And I'm like, dude, what could you have possibly... UCLA has been a bad football program for over a decade at this point. And as soon as you leave, they put up two wins in a row against some pretty good competition, including Penn State. That's got to feel really bad, man.
Oh, it's awful. It's absolutely awful. Well, he is clearly a loser, you know, for obvious reasons. But there are some winners there, too. Jerry Neuheisel, obviously, doing what he does at a very good level. And
he's going to get a job here soon, right?
I think there's a little – yes, he is, and it might be there. I think there's a little life in the UCLA program all of a sudden.
Yeah, I did not anticipate it. In fact, I'm a little bit of a loser in this regard because I just thought, oh, well, losing at UCLA, that's something that that happens. Like, you look at the factors that are there, and yes, you're going to lose there. Apparently, not to that degree. And, of course, I the reason why I held off in this college football-wise is he a winner or is he a loser? James Franklin, fired at Penn State.
Oh, he's a loser.
3-3, 0-3 in conference. As I mentioned, lost to UCLA, a team that had not won in quite a bit, and then lost to Northwestern, which is just one of those you can't do that, especially in its current iteration.
Yeah.
But he does get the $50 million buyout, which has no offset. So even if he goes and gets another job, let's say Virginia Tech or Auburn if it comes open, or there was one that was interesting that I just forgot.
Arkansas.
If he gets one of those types of jobs, that's not going to be like his buyout money that's coming from Penn State is not going to be affected by whatever his next income is.
I still think, you know, loser for the weekend because of, you know, the expectations and what happened in the monumental fall. He was going to get that $49 million no matter what. whether they won a national championship or he got fired. So, yes, you could say he's just a life winner because of he's never going to have to worry about money again.
But he was never going to have to worry about that at all.
He was never going to worry about money. So I think loser in terms of what happened.
Yeah, he's done being viewed as an elite coach. I don't know that anybody was going to get him there, mm-hmm. but I think that was what he was aiming for. You're at Penn State. You're at one of the blue bloods of this sport, mm-hmm. and you're playing amongst the best, and you just never get the wins against the best. Yeah, you're no longer in that, or even having access to that stratosphere, I don't think.
Just side note here, I don't think Penn State is as good a job as most people do. It's a tougher job than you think. They have Pennsylvania. They've got that wrapped up, and it's a great football state for high school football. That is absolutely true. They have the pedigree. They have the blue blood reputation, as you mentioned. It is a tough, tough place to get to, a tough place to convince people from outside of the Midwest to get to, and it is a very tough place when it comes to NIL. They are spending a lot of money on NIL, but they are by no means – you know, one of the highest spenders. I mean, I think $60, $65 million a year, which sounds ridiculous. Indiana is spending $60 to $65 million.
Yeah. Right. By the way, Kurt Cignetti, definitely a winner.
He's got to be the next Penn State coach.
He's up there. He just brought his JMU guys and those dudes. Like last year, Indiana winning there, what was that, 12 games or whatever? Mm-hmm. It was like, oh, this is cool. Like they're kind of
Cinderella.
A little smoking. Yeah. This year, they're just out here thumping dudes. Like they look like they belong amongst
the best teams. Nah, that Indiana got me worried a little bit. As an Ohio State fan, I'm like, that ain't the same little Indiana that you used to throttle around for years.
They might be the toughest team in college football.
2 years. He did this in 2 years.
They might be the toughest team in terms of That's just crazy. How they play, the style. They went into Oregon and just bullied them.
Loser on the weekend, and it's tough because he has ties to Houston. Aaron Glenn, mm-hmm. got to be a loser on the weekend. Obviously, they were out in London. They played what was a very funky final score, actually, now I think about it. The Denver Broncos 13, New York Jets 11. Mm-hmm.
I
actually don't remember because one of the losers on the weekend is the NFL Scorigami account on Twitter.
Oh no, what a shame.
Did they
which
mess up?
it's been acting up. It's been in a little bit of a revolt, I guess. it's just not been operating properly.
Oh, that's
and this is why you got to use the bot that is either on Blue Sky or whatever, or just go to the NFLScorigami.com. It was not, by the way.
Okay.
A Scorigami. It had happened once before at least it had happened in 1983. There we go. Okay. That's what I was looking for. But Aaron Glenn is a loser because obviously they lose that football game, but also they're 0-6. Clearly his quarterback is not one that works. Mm-hmm. 9 completions, 9 sacks. Justin Fields just not capable of doing this. But did you see what happened at the end of the first half in this game?
What's that?
The game management by by Aaron Glenn.
Did not see it. I saw the after,
was atrocious. I'm going to be entirely honest. Mm-hmm. I didn't directly see it because this game was a great motivation to clean the house. Was a great motivation. But they have this instance where they basically just, they look like they're going and trying to go and try and score points. And then they give up on the end of the half when there's plenty of time available for them to go and try. And it's just, it reeks of a give up that you should not have. Right. And you probably can't afford in a game that you were still very close in, and ultimately you find out was a 2-point game.
Yeah, and I had, as you also know, I had very high hopes for Aaron Glenn. A lot of respect. I thought he was going to be able to get the job done. There's still time. He's not going anywhere just yet, I don't think. But it's clearly the Jets might just be a job that's cursed. I mean, look at the guys that have been there. They all of them had good resumes. You would think they'd do well, and it's just not happening.
I feel like obviously we could talk about, we mentioned Anthony Richardson breaking his orbital bone while warming up, work with the resistance band. How about this? This is actually kind of breaking news. Mm-hmm. Definitely a loser on the weekend. Brian Callahan has been told that they are making a head coach. The Titans are making a change rather at head coach. So Brian Callahan, the first one fired on this season. Am I forgetting somebody already?
Hold on.
Well, he has been relieved of his responsibilities there with the Tennessee Titans. So yeah, Tennessee 1-5.
I think that's the first one
now without a head coach in Brian Callahan. I did not see who they named the interim. However,
maybe they named his dad.
That'd be wild.
How would that feel?
That would be because
that would absolutely be a fair thing to do.
That brother ain't have a head coaching job since what, Oakland?
That would absolutely be a fair thing to do, wouldn't it?
No, it would not be a fair thing. Hire his dad as intern?
The O-line coach out of all people?
His dad. We're burying the lead here. You don't take your son's job as interim? But, absolutely not.
But his dad's actually good at his – well, I was going to say he's actually good at his job. Has historically been good at his job. Bill Callahan ain't really looked all that good at his job this time around.
No, not for the Titans.
Mm-hmm. No. So, I mean, if there was any level of belief, which there shouldn't have been, that the Titans would have any level of progress – it feels like that's gone. You feel like you can maybe see a new coach bounce in any way from this team?
Look, man, this is – it's not a surprise that he got fired. It's a little surprise that he was the first one. That was the surprise.
I think I was surprised he was this bad. Because I didn't think the Titans going to be this bad. Like, I knew they were struggling, but he looked clueless to the point – I don't even know about Cam Ward at this point, the way he was out there on the field looking.
Well, I think that's part of the reason he was fired. But didn't you think Mike McDaniel would get fired first?
Yeah. That was a race to the finish. And, I did. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, they both had kind of – they both have inflammatory things. The fire and the smoke is all around.
At least Mike McDaniel, his offense is looking all right. Like, at least that part is looking decent.
Well, this week, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, but Mike McDaniel has more, let's say, personalities.
And he's got capri pants.
Yeah.
You in these pants. Hey. Did I say end of the game? I did mean end of the first half with the Aaron Glenn situation. But there you go. Some winners and losers on the weekend. Somebody said Belichick to the Titans. I'm sure that he'd want it because if there's a place that he doesn't want to be, it's probably North Carolina, which, lots of things to talk about on college football on a Tuesday tomorrow. But for the time being, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, if you'll oblige me. Kind of want to talk more about the Astros.
Yes, sir.
Is the foundation of the Astros roster problematic for next year already? 713-572-4610. I kind of want to discuss that next on Sports Radio 610.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.